Hey, hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to this week's call on Buddhas and Butterflies. We are in houses 3 and 4, and we are working with transforming worry into its natural energy configuration. And worry is an interesting one. It is actually one that's meant to give us clarity in our thinking process, and it's meant to give us a moment to be still and at peace amongst it all. So believe it or not, the mind is ultimately meant to come to rest once it recognizes its true orientation or positionality. So in terms of the session today, houses 3 and 4 are also earthbound houses. So I think that this is a really juicy combination, and we'll see where that takes us to today. I invite you to pay really close attention to the body, because this is all about earth body. Okay. Before I forget, I have a reminder that next week is off. It was supposed to be off because of dental surgery, but then my dentist changed the appointment to another date. And so now it's off, and I'm going to go on a little bit of a retreat next week. So I'll be out in BC for that, which will be great. And then we'll meet back in 2 weeks' time in September. And then I have dental surgery the day after, so I should be recovered, and I have 6 days to get back for our next week. So I think we'll be good to go with that all. I will keep you updated if anything goes awry. I don't imagine it will with the dental surgery. It's straightforward enough, and it just involves an IV sedation given the cleft site where they're working, which is a bit more complicated. I have a complicated dental situation in my mouth. So I've got some really good people out here in Calgary that are going to work with me, and feeling really supported and blessed by that all. So, oh, thank you, grief. All right, I stand corrected. Thank you for reminding me. I was so tuned into the element of worry in our houses that we were in that I automatically jumped ahead. I think I'm getting ready for my retreat to be very deep in my body, but you're absolutely right. We are working with transformation of grief. But I'm convinced worry is a factor for today as well. So it's just been the thing that's been coming through. So we will do the session obviously for grief, and I'm just curious to see why I've been tuning into to worry so deeply. But we'll figure that out as we dive in. So thank you for correcting me on that all. So as we work with transformation of grief, thank you, into its regular healthy role of dispersion, of releasing, of letting go, it helps to clear things out. Maybe I'm thinking worry because I'm actually avoiding when my own system is trying to clean things out. And it can help to release that at a mental level through phlegm, which is, underway in this system right now. Or it might release to let go of other things in other ways. Anytime you go use the washroom, there's a purging. Anytime you have any sort of energetic or feeling like you need to spit or even vomiting coming out through the mouth itself, then that too is a form of purging. Yeah. All right, y'all. What would I do without you? Thanks for reminding me and keeping me on track. Thank you. Okay, loves. So I'm going to invite you to just take a moment to get comfy cozy. Angle my computer this way. I'm going to cozy up to you and get a little bit closer just in case my voice fades in the next hour or so. So, the invitation as you get comfy and cozy here is to find a nice quiet place where you can either sit or lay and be undisturbed for your session. And then to simply begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. To receive. To drink in life. Every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to make space. and every breath an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant, it's even neutral. Taking time to really steepen that, to really drink that in. And to come to on purpose a pause. And then I'm going to invite you to be equally intentional and take a moment to scan your environment, outer, inner, wherever feels right to you. Just let your gaze, your senses, go for a bit of a wander around your space, drinking in what's here. And then ultimately letting your gaze land on one thing in particular that feels really pleasant, easeful, beautiful, or perhaps just neutral to be with. Allowing yourself to notice a few different qualities that you appreciate about that particular place that you've landed. And letting yourself really take time to connect to those qualities, to let yourself again steepen them, to savor them like you would that piece of really yummy snack. For me, that's often chocolate, whatever it might be for you, that you've been saving for perhaps a special occasion. And really just let that melt through your system. Savoring, steeping, taking time to just be mindful by means of slowing down to appreciate here. Breathing that in. Breathing that in. Now, as you breathe it in, noticing how the body responds. Excuse me. And if any part of that response is also useful, beautiful, or simply neutral. Taking time to savor it too. And as you continue to steep here, I'm going to offer these words. Thank you for the opportunity to gather here today. And thank you to all of our compassionate helpers, both seen and unseen, who gather here with us. We offer our thanks for you holding this space safe and sacred, for grounding us, for nourishing us, for protecting us as we journey today. And we give thanks for all that comes through. Thank you to this earth that holds us, to the fire that connects us to expansion, to what is beyond. Thank you to the water that purifies, connecting us to our emotions and our consciousness. And thank you to air, for all the ways that it flows freely, connects us to the vast skies above. And moves through us, moves through our lungs, through our blood, and connects us to life itself. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, peace, peace, peace. Blessings on your session today. Okay, so as we work with this to start off with, this third and fourth house, we're actually going to the transition point between the two of them. So I'm not sure how much I talked about it, but I think I mentioned it. I just didn't really emphasize it. That each house has its own time zone, so to speak, in the day that it works well in. So the third house is between 7 to 9 a.m. It's your stomach. It's when we're, in theory, eating our food. Or perhaps that's a little bit later on, 9 to 11 a.m., which is the time of the spleen. So it's actually going right to that midpoint between the two. It's going to 9 a.m. And as we transition here, excuse me, as we transition here, we're moving from the conscious mind having digested to the world, having digested the world, to the subconscious mind, which stores our way of being able to be at ease, potentially, or at rest amongst the collective, amongst the group consciousness. Recognizing that we're actually a part of that group in ways that don't have to involve othering anybody else. In ways that don't have to involve, well, they do initially involve some layers of protection, but the idea is that early on in our lives, those were necessary. And as we hang out here in this stage of life, we have the opportunity to reflect and go like, hey, do I actually need to do it the same way that I did when I was little? Or do I have other tools, wisdom, and resources to be able to manage that? And that's happening on a subconscious level. So all the tools, the wisdom, the resources that you've gained allow for that integration to happen spontaneously in a way that's connected to the planetary energy of the moon, which carries a deep sense of maternal love. And in this transition point, we're really working with the transition of getting out of the intellect, the head, and more into what is it to receive love in a way that doesn't involve the mind, that doesn't involve the intellect, but in a way that involves the spleen. The pancreas is tied into the spleen through Chinese medicine. And the idea here is can we take in the sweetness of life? It's actually going into the times which you were fed as an infant. For some of you, that may have been through the breast, through maternal connection in that way, assuming you didn't have a wet nurse. For others of you, it may have happened through the bottle. However, that sense of nourishment came in, there's a sense of not being able to fully trust the source where it was coming from. Not being able to rely on it, not feeling like you could fully be held the way that you wanted to be held when you were being fed, that you couldn't actually take in as much or as little as you wanted to. There's a consciousness of abrupt insertions, like whether it was nipple or a breast or a bottled nipple, a sense of there being like a roughness in the mouth on occasion, and a sense of being manhandled. Being manhandled. So it wasn't necessarily a sense of being held in deep, loving nourishment, but more so a sense of restriction. And it's showing up in the session around restriction in being able to take in emotional nourishments along with physical nourishments. Which does not support the body as easily as coming out of shame. The antidote to shame being that of redemption. So if we were looking at this through the natural world, which I think is like the place to look to solve problems that are sticky on the human level, the animal kingdom, in particular dogs, when they're, this is the way I know it through, I'm sure it happens with other species as well, but mother dogs will actually on purpose shame their little ones when they've done something wrong. That's on a pretty big scale. The little stuff they just ignore, they turn their head. But after that's over, they actually go to them to remind them that that little one is still loved, that they're cared for. And right now, we're calling in that as a practice for you. So those little ones in you that feel emotionally distressed, distraught, that feel like there's a sense of almost like a panic or a sense of anxiety, which is where I think the worry piece is coming in, is not necessarily having its needs met. and there's actually some deep grief about that. There's a longing to have this resolved by your little ones that really happens at this age and stage of life by you reparenting yourselves. So the practice is simply to offer to your little ones the redemption that you would have wanted back then, to let them know you're human, you're allowed to make mistakes, your needs matter, they're allowed to take up space, and you don't have to get it right all the time in order for your needs to be met. And as I say that, I see the cast of little ones, and each within us have our own cast. I'm seeing it at a group level of just like really deep longing for that redemption, to the point where the grief is actually adding up in a way that is creating a little bit of irritation within the lungs. For some of us, this might be showing up as adhesions. For myself, for instance, it might be showing up as phlegm. For you, it may be too, or just a sense of being really prone to having sticky lungs or challenging breaths at times. And as we work with this, there's a sense of I cannot digest these experiences. I cannot digest these experiences, like a sense of just that being overwhelming. And there's actually a freeze response in the stomach. There's a freeze response around being able to digest this and to be able to move through the shame cycle, which is what's keeping it bound and spinning. Okay. So as we work with that, running the permissions, you may want to even just place a hand on your stomach to support this. And we're letting the body know. You can digest this too. This too can be digested. You can digest this too. This too can be digested. You can digest this too. This too can be digested. Be digested. Excuse me. And then as I say that overwhelm, along with that permission statement, is also being defined by one's own value. Self-worthiness, in the sense of being able to essentially offer continuously, as need be, as it pops up, the repair to your little ones because there's a recognition of mattering. Okay. As we do that, we're running a cellular repair on the skin. The skin is processing the grief. And as the skin processes the grief, there may even be some irritations. There might be like a sense of itchiness. There might be a sense of any other sort of dermatological, just like chronic dryness, or maybe you have like a bit of eczema that comes up. Things like that, just skin irritations as a whole. And that might be through something that's like a Western medicine label, or it might just be like a sense of the body always feeling a certain way within the skin. Okay. Excuse me. All linking to the 12th house. It's like we're giving grief a corridor, a portal to the 12th house, or through the 12th house, to release, to let go, to make more space in here for something different to happen. And as we do that, We're bringing in the essence, bear with me on this, of healthy fats. I'm saying in particular ghee, like the stuff that comes from butter when you melt it and you clarify it. And I'm seeing that as being the thing that's actually providing both lubrication as well as moisturization and nourishment at a really rich, deep level for the skin. And it's like the essence of maternal love in a different form. And as soon as I say that, I actually see the whole digestive system relax. It's like that's the healing medicine that we've been looking for. Which is not necessarily translate to you need to go physically eat that. We're just bringing in the consciousness of that nourishment. I just keep hearing three words: gift, mana, nectar. There's a fourth one now, spirits. So there's this awareness or this recognition. I'm going to sum that all up as of a really deep gratitude at the level of the body for being able to take in the essence of nourishment through sources that weren't necessarily human. There we go. So it's looking at like non-human sources of nourishment, as butter comes from cows or potentially other critters, but mostly cows that I'm aware of, that we have our butter sources that distill into ghee from, although there might be other animals involved within that. Okay. Bear with me on this. I'm not sure where this is going at all, but I just see like the image of a very happy, smiling cow. I think it's on like a label of particular butter that's familiar in Canadian superstores anyways, or grocery stores. And I was just at superstore to stock up on Kleenex for this cold. So yeah, you're hearing my Freudian slip there. And as we work with the happy, smiling cow, it's bringing in the deep reverence that the East Indian traditions have carried. The deep honoring that they carry. And it's like, imagine being nurtured by that essence of deep reverence and deep honoring from the inside out within your own system through the consciousness of ghee. Okay, wild. It's actually going through the generations now. It's going ancestral. It's going back a fair ways. It's going back seven generations on both sides equally. No, pardon me, seven generations on mom's side, eight generations on dad's. Got it? And within that, a sense of distrust between man and woman, distrust between the feminine and the masculine as having enough capacity to nourish one another. The question here might go in the words of, like, do you have what it takes to hold me, to nurture me, to give me what I need, to support my feelings, to support my intellect, to support my body, all of it? Then we're linking that into the relationship that you have to the beyond, the mystery, divine, universe, source, creator, God, whatever word we call this, the beauty of life. And how we related to our parents, often, or our caretakers, stems from that, the relationship that we in later life begin to orient towards the beyond, the realm of spirits. And here we're working with this idea that it's your job to create something from nothing in a way that's like super overwhelming. In face of being able to connect to that source energy and have it simply flow through you and being like the portal or the doorway for that energy. And that's linking into the space between the 12th house and the first house, the space between endings and beginnings, which we might refer to as the liminal spaces. And that is linking into the earth element, into the body, into form itself, into a sense of the awareness of I am present because of that which is greater than me, if that aligns with your particular point of view. But I'm here because of that which is greater than me. And whether that feels like a blessing or a curse, or somewhere in between, it might be both. There's a sense of releasing the party that feels a little bit jaded. It's a party that feels a little bit, well, it's like harboring old grievances around times in which life didn't go your way and holding that against life itself. And that diminishing vitality of the very chi that's flowing in particular through the stomach and the spleen meridians. For that, we're going to run a Sidri. It's going to continue for the next 14 days. Interesting, right until we meet again. C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down to all the little guys, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower that inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help us to heal on all levels, in particular our nervous system and our immune system, and supporting the body mind and really seeing that also as a source of nourishment as well. Then also running hydration, helping the cells take in water and join, releasing the impurities that no longer need to be here. Followed by D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking the clutter that no longer needs to be here. What remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization. Getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Integration, introspection are the conclusion of the Sidri. I like to think of this as that landing point where it becomes so natural, it's just inherent within us. Something that's no longer even necessary to think about, to manage in any which way. It just is. There's a sense of beingness here that involves a certain amount of release, surrender, letting go. And on that note, we're running the permissions of I don't have to do it alone. I don't have to do it alone. And on purpose, it may be supportive to orient your brain to locating the resources, the connections that you do have that are available, that are supportive for you. That might be to spirits, that might be to nature, that might be to a friend, a partner, an animal, a plant, a crystal. Whatever that is that you are supported by, wherever your nourishing connections are found, we invite you to turn your attention that direction and just letting yourself really bathe in that and steep in that. Then we're linking that, and feel free to stay with that process. We're linking that right to that 9 a.m. point, that intersectionality between houses 3 and 4, that transition point. And at this point, the chi is roughly between house 3 and house 4. It's sort of like bridging the two. It's working with transition. And here we're bringing in the essence of gratitude into transition. The essence of being thankful into transition. And here, at the same time as that, we're giving your system permission to not have to express that in words. Like, you don't have to figure out what to say about that, is the exact words for the permission statement. You don't have to figure out what to say about that. But more the capacity to just let it be felt, let it be something that you get to steep in, much like we did at the beginning, we called in the resources. And that's linking to the arms. Like, it's not yours to hold, it's yours to let flow through. And through the arms, running circulation of all the healing resources. And I see it going both directions, from left fingertips all the way through left wrist, lower arm, upper arm, shoulder, across the chest, through to the right, and all the way out to its fingertips. And then back again, from right fingertips to left fingertips. We're just honoring the horizontal flow of life. So bringing in circulation of blood, nerve, lymph, chi, consciousness, electrons, protons, solitons, neutrons, the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, endocannabinoids. And then working with again the yin, the yang, and running hydration. And I see, much like the horizontal axis has flow, the beginnings of that happen vertically. I see it happening through the heart chakra. And it's like rising above and below it. It's flowing, I should say, rising up and flowing downward at the same time, flowing down through to the spleen pancreas for the sweetness that it's meant to carry. Interesting. And as it rises upward, it's going up to the excuse me, the small intestine meridian that runs through the arms and carries the capacity to embrace nourishments. Okay. There's just this pulse dipping down towards the sweetness, lifting up towards embracing the nourishments. And that rhythmic pulse begins to, excuse me, expand or extend into, for each one of you, you'll have your own capacity to whatever length of the vertical spectrum. Through the chakras, through the meridians, is available. It will continue to pulse through those directionalities. So if it's totally open and available, it'll go all the way down to the feet and all the way up to crown. Down towards the feet, working with deep connection to the earth, steeping in nature. Rising up to the crown, crown consciousness, connecting to the heavens. Okay, and then same time as all of that. Working with the fourth house. And it's like being able to transition into the heart of all things fourth house from this place, from this pulse, from this way of dancing in a way that gets to be, shall we say, creative. There's like a flow of creation that's available when the heart is open both horizontally and vertically. Horizontally, primarily referring to our walk as a human. Vertically, primarily referring to our walk as a being. Then a landing here with wherever you're at in that journey of humanness. I'm running a cellular repair, interestingly enough, for the spleen slash pancreas. And as it does so, it's releasing what feels like, the best way I can say this is like stagnant grief. Like I have the image of constipation. And you know how that feels in the body. There's just that like heaviness, that contraction, but can't move. It's like the spleen and the pancreas have been feeling that. And in part, what's not moving through them is actually the emotion of worry, of clarity in its healthy role. And it's cultivating, it's bringing in the consciousness of cultivation, of the awareness of one's blessings. I just keep hearing Martin Shaw, he's a myth teller. He has a line that he often says, which is who is more blessed than you? Tell me, who is more blessed than you? And not using it to override the things that don't feel like blessings. But more to cultivate the awareness of where those blessings are. Hey, beautiful. Love that. Hey. Running one more cellular repair now. It's actually for the diaphragm around emotional processing. There's been some wear and tear and some confusion here. Around how to literally release and let go to support dispersion, to support the grief energy in doing its thing. And it's created its own level of constipation within the entire system, its own emotional congestion. So, as we run the cellular repair on the diaphragm, we're then going to connect diaphragm to intestines, which in body talk, we see the intestines as helping to let go of all the stuff you don't need to hang on to anymore. So, it's like the easeful flow of emotions, supporting. That happening in a way that's regulated within the system. Okay, beautiful. We're going to tap this out here. So, invitation to breathe and to receive. Okay, so imagine taking everything that we've worked with so far, and we're linking it through to the eyes, linking it through to a particular bladder 1 point, which hangs out on the inner corner of the eye, fancy word inner canthus. It's a fun word to say, and we're helping the body to through this point see the present moment with clarity, to see the present moment with clarity. And it's linking into actually like welcoming the parts of you that don't want to surrender, that don't want to let go, that don't want to move on. And acknowledging them for the protection that they've played. Not by overriding them and just moving quickly towards, you have to just let that go and surrender. But rather to like, hey, tell me why you're doing that and let me learn. Let me hear you out. let me receive that information from you. Because if you're resisting, I'm going to imagine that's happening for like a really good reason that happened to keep me safe as a little one. And that's a way of actually meeting your little ones that were sort of frozen in time with that earlier practice as well that we worked with around the little ones earlier in the session. It's a way of reparenting them. It's a way of honoring, like, hey, you went through some things that were really challenging and hard. Tell me all about it. I'm here with you. In ways that they never got originally. And that's linking into the skin, which is like softening the protective barrier from your external environments by literally releasing layers of armoring. So we're linking that through to the right emotional brain. It's actually, I forget the part, the fancy name for it. It's the part of our brain that registers deja vu experiences. And we're actually linking this into the deja vu experience part of your brain, pardon me, to the deja vu experiences that have, known what it's like to relinquish old layers of protection and to land in a place that no longer requires that layer of protection, or potentially finding a sense of safety enough to just simply be here as you are. Which doesn't mean the instinctive protections go anywhere. It just means you orient to them as not necessarily you being the one that's doing the protection, because that's being surrendered to something else, to something different. But now we're entering the land of paradox, where words get a bit tricky. So forgive me if that's not coming out as beautifully as I'd like it to roll off my tongue. We're getting into the realm of the ineffable, the unspeakable. But as I talk about the tongue, we're actually linking to the tongue, to the left side, going back into those memories around being fed. And this time, we're actually giving it like other experiences. We're hooking it into the times where other creatures were fed, including other humans and other species, and which it was actually a really truly pleasurable, delightful experience that didn't necessarily come from a place of coping, but just got to be enjoyed and delighted in. And I just simply see the left side of the tongue say, I am nourished. I am nourished. And the right side of the tongue is connecting to the consciousness of money, of self-worth, of value, of abundance. There we go. Reticular abundance. Being able to, again, connect to those other creatures, experiences, and the times in which you also may have had it yourself around being fed abundantly, not too much, not too little, and not from a place of coping, but just for the sheer delight and the pleasure of it all. And then we're running permissions for the midline of the tongue, and the words here are simply, we get to do this. We get to do this. Then all that nourishment, the tongue, the mouth, all of it, is linking into your entire nervous system. To allow it to register that nourishment. We're releasing the consciousness of starvation, the consciousness of starvation complexities, and all that go with that. Which can show up as like sticky digestion later on. It can show up as feeling like you don't have the right to go after what it is you want to in this world. And trapping yourself in shame cycles. It can show up as, well, lots of ways. I'll invite you to notice it however you notice it. And if any part of you has registered this as pressure to be ready to accept this all, actually running up permissions. This is going to sound counterintuitive, but just notice what happens in your nervous system as you hear the words. What if you don't have to be ready? What if you don't have to be ready? What if you don't have to be ready? And then the tension around the parts of you that feel like they need to be ready to be prepared to receive. I see them begin to soften, in particular around the stomach and the spleen, but all the way through the digestive system. Going through the enteric brain, the nervous system that is our gut brain. And it's linking very specifically to the pterygoid muscles in the roof of the mouth. They look like little pterodactyl wings, hence their name, pterygoids. And they tend to hang on to control, unfinished business. And here we're working primarily with overanalyzing or over-intellectualizing or being in the rut of needing to figure something out before being able to just surrender, release, let go, move through the process without having to figure it out or be ready or be prepared, etc. Taking a long time to talk about these things, think about them, intellectualize about them, and figure it out. And it can be a very short route to just being like, what if I don't need to hang on to that? What if there's a way to move through this in a different way? And what if that happens by welcoming the thing that I'm telling has to go away, but instead I actually welcome it to be here? Okay, we're going to tap this out here. Invitation to breathe and to receive however feels right for you. I just see like humor, laughter, lightheartedness, lightness of spirit. And all of that's essentially connected to house five. There's a sense of having the resources in order to be able to then be able to navigate life in a way that feels like you can easily locate lightheartedness, locate a sense of yeah, just ease, humor. Lightness of spirit. It's linking right into the pterygoids. It's literally giving them permission to laugh. So you've got a little bit of homework if you choose to use it or engage with it as much or as little as you like, which will be to listen to something comedic, listen to something that brings you a sense of joy or lightness. Maybe you've got a favorite comedian that you want to tune into. Maybe there's a Netflix special out there. I'm not sure what's out there happening right now. Or maybe there's just the capacity to locate that in day-to-day life in some other way. As we do that, it's releasing the consciousness of having to be standoffish or fearful of fun and frivolity and play. And it's coming off of the upper left chamber of the heart, the left atrium. And as it does so, releasing the belief that was very protective in nature, that life is a battle that must be fought and must be won at any cost. That's coming off of, as well, the back of the skull, right where it joins onto the spine on either side. And these are the, it's connecting into the muscles in this region as well that connect to us to our autonomy. They're just simply running the permissions. I make my own choices. I make my own choices now. And if you're reparenting a little one in this moment, you might let them know, like, hey, we actually get to make our own choices now. And I get that you couldn't do that back then. But right now, we don't actually have a mom or a dad that's governing us in the same way. Look around, check it out. Are they right here in this environment right now with you? And as we do that, releasing the, I'm gonna say like the death grip, sensational words I know, from the back of the neck that's been keeping things rather frozen or stuck here. As I say that, it feels as well like, now I haven't actually fed a baby, but I think in one hold of the baby, if you're breastfeeding, it's not just cradling in the arm, but you like literally hold the back of their head, the back of their neck. It's got the sense of that feeling like a bit of a death grip from how it is you were fed, or how it is you were held, pardon me, when you were fed. And it was not necessarily malevolence, it was more just out of like caution, out of like parental exhaustion, and like don't drop the baby. Hold on. And a sense of somehow that being translated though in those experiences to that being your responsibility or your fault. And that you should hold on to death in a certain way. So that might show up with just like very unconscious or potentially conscious awarenesses of thoughts and behaviors that have been prone to suicidality or a confusion around how to let things go. Most suicidal thoughts and behaviors, ideations, are not so much actually suicidal, they're just more so the desire for something to end, to release, to let go, for something to transition, for something to change. So as we release the back of the neck around all themes around death, death grip, death wish, death being associated as nourishments, it begins to revamp what it is to have healthy surrender, healthy let go, healthy release, healthy making space, which just might show up in the phrase allowance, allowing. I allow here. I allow here. Oh, we got a Roxy slash Lazarus. I'm shy sigh on that one. Which means we're in the right territory. Okay, we're going to tap this part out here. Invitation to breathe and invitation to receive, however feels right for you. Okay, giving that a round of breath. Calling to mind any resources that you found at the beginning of the session if that feels desirable. I got a song by Beautiful Chorus that seems to align with some of the themes of gratitude and thankfulness for 2.5 minutes. So I invite you to breathe and receive here.
Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your blessings. Your guidance is wise indeed. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your blessings. Your lessons live on in me.
Thank you for being here exactly as you are. And thank you for carrying the medicine that you all carry. We are the richer for it. Looking forward to seeing y'all in 2 weeks. And until then, mwah, 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 love and peace. Bye for now, y'all. Have yourselves a beautiful rest of your 2 weeks. And if you need any additional support, feel free to hang out and let me know. And yeah, thank you so much for the journey. So appreciate it all. Okay, bye for now, loves. Thank you. Yeah, you're most welcome.